Revelation chapter 15, verses 2 to 4. This is the reading of God's Word. And I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God, and they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you will bless the preaching of your word. Oh, Father, grant us an ear to hear your voice through your word. Let us hear your loving voice through your word, telling us what your Son has accomplished for us. And let us rejoice, for you are our Father, that you speak to us even today through your word. Oh, Father, as we hear your word, let our faith grow. Let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us live that obedient life that you called us to live. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In chapter 15, verse 2, we are looking at our heavenly reality. We who have been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name, we who had crossed the sea, the water, we who had been united to our Lord Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection, we stand on the sea of glass. We stand on the sea that is completely and perfectly conquered by our Lord Jesus Christ. We stand on the sea of glass and we praise our God forever and ever. And this is our present spiritual, heavenly reality. This is the reality of our worship. This is where we have come, and this is what we are doing as we worship our God together. We saw this last time concerning the sea of glass. What is the significance of that? Today, we are going to look at the fact that this sea of glass is mixed with fire. Sea of glass mixed with fire. And let me remind you, and we said this last time also, that the Old Testament tabernacle and the temple are the copy of the heavenly temple. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, who serve these Old Testament priests, they serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle for see. He says that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain. So when you look at the Old Testament, you are looking at a copy, a shadow. But in our passage, we are seeing the real thing. Though that real thing is expressed with symbolical language. Yes, the book of Revelation is written in a symbolical language. And yet, those symbols, those images, are showing us the real reality. tabernacle, and I told you this, and it is very important that you have a picture in your head how the tabernacle is, and where all the furnitures and all the things that belong to that tabernacle are located. Well, like I said, tabernacle is a house of God. So, if you will, there's a fence, and there's a yard, and there is a house. And that was how the tabernacle was. And when you enter this gate, you will see, first thing you will see is a yard. And behind that yard, a house with two rooms. And those two rooms, first room was called Holies, and the other inner room was called Holy of Holies, and these two rooms were divided by a curtain. As we enter the yard, we see first the altar of burnt offering. So as soon as you get into the yard, get through the gate and you step on the yard, then the first thing you will see is the altar of burnt offering. This is where you sacrifice animals. You burn those animals to sacrifice to God. Behind that altar, there is a laver filled with water. And that laver was called the sea. Then you go behind that laver, then you will see a house with two rooms. The first room, the holies, as we enter, we see to our right a table with 12 showbread. And on your left, the candlestick. And like I told you, the two rooms are separated with a curtain. So in right front of that curtain, you will see the altar of incense. Then you go behind the curtain, the Holy of Holies. You enter the Holy of Holies, and in it, we see the Ark of the Covenant with two cherubim on it. And top of the Ark is the mercy seat, which points to the throne of God. Once a year, only once a year, only the high priest entered the Holy of Holies with the blood of the animal to meet God at the mercy seat as he sprinkles the blood of the animal on it. So this is how the Old Testament people met God. Now you are in a much better situation, better place, because in the Old Testament, if it was an Old Testament, then you, regular people of God, had to stand outside of the temple, outside of the tabernacle. Only one representative, the high priest, and even him, only once a year, is able to go into the Holy of Holies to meet God. But in Jesus Christ, all of us are in the Holy of Holies, and all of us have came to God. We're standing before the throne and worshiping Him. And we are able to approach Him not just once a year, but any time you want. In Christ, that curtain that was hiding the Holy of Holies was completely torn apart, so that through His body, the way to God is now completely and perfectly opened. Well, then you have a picture of tabernacle, and if you look at the movement of the high priest, then you will understand how a sinner is coming to God. First, he has to pass the altar of burnt offering. Then he has to pass laver, the sea. Then he goes into the holies, and then Holy of Holies. And if you could put, you know, it's a horizontal movement, but if you could put a tabernacle like, you know, on the side, so that it will be vertical movement, and you might have a better understanding how a sinner is coming to God. The sea of glass, which is the antitype of the laver in the yard. Let me explain that word, antitype. Old Testament things are type. It's a shadow. It's a copy. We call that a type. So tabernacle is a type of the true temple in heaven. So the true temple in heaven is antitype of the tabernacle of the Old Testament. So, sea of glass that we see in our passage is the antitype of the laver in the yard. Now, this sea of glass is mixed with fire. Fire. That is our focus today. What are we looking at? According to chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4, verse 5 through 6, which says, out from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. By reading that passage, we might conclude that the fire is pointing to the lamp, the candlestick in the holies. But if we read the rest of chapter 15, especially chapter 15, verse 5, which says, after these things I looked, and the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was opened. So until verse 5, the house was not open to see. Candlestick is in the house. So, but we are looking at fire in verse 2, before the house is open to see. Thus, in chapter 15, verse 2, the inside of tabernacle proper or the house is not visible yet. We are still at the yard in chapter 15, verse 2. Then the fire is not the candlestick. We are still in the yard, thus we conclude that the fire is the altar of the burnt offering. As we read the chapter 15, as we read that chapter, we are drawn closer to the throne of God. In verse 2, we are in the yard. In verse 5, the holies and the Holy of Holies. And in verse 8, the temple of God is filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. Now from our passage, we see the complete fulfillment of Old Testament, crossing the Red Sea, the completion of the tabernacle by Moses, and the completion of the temple by Solomon. So last time we saw how, you know, this laver was fulfillment. The sea of glass was the fulfillment of the crossing of the Red Sea. The Old Testament event of crossing of the Red Sea was pointing to that heavenly reality that we see in that sea of glass. But in our passage, especially verse 2, we are looking at the fulfillment of many Old Testament events. Not just crossing the Red Sea, but the completion of the tabernacle by Moses and the completion of the temple by Solomon. Like I said, the temple was a shadow, is a copy. So when Solomon completed the temple, he just completed the shadow, the copy. It is Jesus Christ who comes and completes the true tabernacle, true temple, heavenly temple. So the Old Testament is a pointer which points to that heavenly reality that Jesus Christ accomplishes. Well then, let us go to the Chronicles and read about the completion of the Old Testament temple, which is the shadow of what we are looking at in Revelation chapter 15. So, 2 Chronicles. I know you guys don't read much these chapters, but chapter 5, 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Keep in your mind what we saw in verse 2 of Revelation 15. Chapter 5, verse 1, this is where we are reading about the completion of the temple by King Solomon. Thus, all the work that Solomon performed for the house of the Lord, which is the temple, was finished. And Solomon brought in the things that David, his father, had dedicated, even the silver and the gold and all the utensils, and put them in the treasuries of the house of God. Then if you keep reading, you're going to read about how they're going to bring in the Ark of the Covenant so that they could put that Ark in the Holy of Holies. And we're not going to read the whole thing. Go to chapter 6. Let's read from verse 12. Then he stood, Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands. Now Solomon had made a bronze platform, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court, the yard, and he stood on it, knelt on his knees in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, and spread out his hands toward heavens, and he started praying. So after completion of the temple, then Solomon is praying to God, with thanksgiving and dedication of that temple. And as he finishes this prayer, see what happens in chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 1. Now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. So what we are seeing is that the temple, the first thing is the altar of the burnt offering. And Solomon had sacrificed animals. And as soon as he finished this prayer, what happens? The fire comes down and consumes that sacrifice. And what else does it happen? What do you see? Now the house, the temple itself, is filled with the glory of God. Just like what we read in chapter 15, Revelation verse 8. If you go there and you read it, then it tells us that the heavenly temple is filled with the glory of God. It's the complete fulfillment of the completion of the temple in the Old Testament. The Old Testament temple is no longer true temple. It was just a copy, a shadow, until the true temple comes. And Jesus Christ, he completes the true temple. So Old Testament temple is no longer needed. It's passed away because the true temple has come. Now, coming to God. Now let's understand this. The fire and the sea of glass. As we said, if you observe the movement of the high priest from the gate to the mercy seat, high priest representing the people of God, and once a year, he comes to God. He comes to meet God. And when you observe his movement, he starts at the gate, and he goes all the way to mercy seat. He has to cross the sea, as we had seen the last time, but he also has to cross the fire. God is holy. He is consuming fire. So, first thing he has to do is sacrifice the burnt offering. He has to cross that fire. Then he has to cross the laver. He has to cross the sea. Now, we already looked at what crossing the sea meant. Now, today our focus is crossing the fire. What's the significance of that? Now, from this, you're learning how we are coming to God. You don't just come to God as a sinner, because once you come to God as a sinner, you'll die. Even before you pass the burnt offering, altar of burnt offering, you'll die right there. So, let's understand from movement of this high priest, let's understand from his movement how we are coming to God. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. You know the story, right? Adam and Eve, they sinned against God, so that God is kicking them out of the Garden of Eden. And if we read chapter 3, verse 22, this is what it says. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, the sword of fire, flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. Now, as you know, the Garden of Eden was a shadow or a copy of heaven. Just like the temple is a copy of heaven. Just like the tabernacle is a copy of heaven. That is why these people were kicked out. What's the direction that they were kicked out? East. East of Eden. That's why when you see tabernacle or temple, the entrance is always on the east side. So, to go to God, you need to go west. You go away from God, then you need to go east. Now, we're talking in the Old Testament. I'm not talking about you, like when you go east, then you're going away from God. No. But as far as Garden of Eden or the temple or the tabernacle, that is the understanding. If you go west, you are going towards God. When you go east, you are going away from God. So these Adam and Eve were kicked out east direction. So think about the high priest. His movement will be west, because he wants to go into the Holy of Holies. But this Garden of Eden, when they were kicked out, what happened? Because of sin, they are expelled out of Garden of Eden, which was type of heaven. The picture is that they are driven away from God's presence. They are alienated from God. And this is the reality of hell. One is completely separated from God forever and ever. It is to be driven out of the place where God is. Now, a sinner to come near to God is impossible. As soon as Adam and Eve were kicked out of Garden of Eden, they could not come back and go to the tree of life, which was type Jesus Christ. Why? Because of this fire. This fire, flaming sword. Because in order for a sinner, a Adam, to come back to the Garden of Eden, he has to pass through that flaming sword, but once he comes to that sword, he will die. So he will never make it. He will never be able to go to the tree of life. And this is a picture of the reality that sinners are in. Sinners cannot approach God anymore. Because in order for any sinner to come to God, they need to pass through this fire. So you have to understand from this tabernacle and temple and the movement of the high priest, you need to understand how hard, how difficult it is a sinner to come near to God. It's impossible. That's the whole point. But it is Jesus Christ now who accomplishes that way for his people. A sinner to come near to God is impossible. Why? He or she has to cross the sea. But he or she will die, just like the Egyptian army. He or she will die just like the non-believers during the Noah's flood. Sinner cannot cross the sea. He or she has to cross the fire also. But as a sinner, he or she will be completely consumed, completely destroyed, as he or she tries to cross the fire. So that is the picture. How impossible for a sinner to come near to God, go to the mercy seat. Only Jesus is able to cross the sea. Only Jesus is able to cross the fire. Why? Why only Jesus? Because only Jesus is sinless. Only Jesus is righteous. Only he had no sin. Because if he was a sinner, he could not pass the fire nor the sea. But because he is righteous, he is able to do so. So Jesus crosses the sea and the fire for you, instead of you, in place of you, and he crosses them with you. But for him, the crossing the sea and the fire is suffering and death. It means for him suffering and death. But he does that for you so that you may be able to cross them. Yes, it is suffering and death, but Jesus is victorious. He conquers and he crosses them. And the only ones who are united to him is able to cross with Christ. We must come to God, to the mercy seat. But because we are sinners without Christ, who will die at the altar of the burnt offering, who cannot cross the fire. Do you see it? Do you see this? This is why the high priest must bring the blood of the animal that was sacrificed at the burnt offering, altar of burnt offering. If he doesn't carry that blood, he will die. He cannot come to the mercy seat. Do you see it? Do you see what is going on? What does that show? That the high priest, in order for him to come to God, he has to bring the blood of that animal which was sacrificed at the altar of the burnt offering. Without that blood, he cannot come in. And that animal was a type of Jesus. Jesus is true Lamb of God, true sacrifice of God. Only through Jesus' death and resurrection we are able to come to God. So even in the Old Testament, in a shadowy way, a high priest carrying that blood and crossing that sea, he showed how only with Christ, that animal was representing Jesus Christ, only with Christ that he is able to come to God. That was the picture that high priest showed us. Brothers and sisters, this is very, very important. If the high priest says, I'm coming to God because I'm so good, I'm coming to God because I did this and I did that, and oh, God will be so happy because I did all this, and he thinks that God will be so happy to see him, think again, he will die right there. Because our utmost righteousness on our own ability is like filthy rag to God. There are so many people who wants to come to God with their own works. They do things to please God, appease God. They think God will look at them and look at what they do and say, oh, that's pretty good. I will accept you because you did that for me. No one is able to come to God like that. You bring anything else except Jesus Christ, you die. You will not be able to meet God. God is not meeting you and accepting you because you are good, or you brought so much money this week, or you did you did well your quiet time, or you read so much Bible this week, or you are so good. You cannot come to God without any of that. Only way that you could come to God is with Jesus Christ, with his blood, and with his righteousness. You bring anything else, then you must die. You cannot pass the fire. You cannot cross the sea. You will die. The Israelites who crossed the Red Sea, they were the picture of God's people who are united to Jesus Christ. They witnessed that reality of being united to Jesus. Noah's family, they were the picture of God's people who are in Christ, who are in the church. That ark of Noah was pointing. That's a type of the church, type of Jesus Christ. Christianity is coming to God and to be with God forever and ever. That's what Christianity is all about. It's not about how you're going to believe in Jesus Christ so that you may be wealthy or healthy or anything else. Christianity is all about sinner coming to God and being with God forever and ever. That is what our religion is all about. We love God, not what we think God will give us. We want to be with God. That's the purpose of our religion. There's so many people who go to church, they don't love God. They only love what they think God will give them. The worldly things that they think that God will give them. That's not Christianity. It's all about loving Him, Himself. So we come to God. That is our purpose. And only way we are able to do so is in Jesus Christ. Jesus has accomplished the way to God. Only through Jesus. So Garden of Eden, the tree of life, which is type Jesus Christ. Do you remember that flaming sword? Jesus Christ, in our place, died by that sword. Thus now we don't have to die, even as we cross the flaming sword of God. The Jesus Christ, his cross, his death on the cross, is dying at that flaming sword. Because he bore our sins, he had to die. If he did not bear our sins, he will not die. He will cross it without any harm. But he died because he bore our sins. He went through that flaming sword. So what are we looking at in our passage? We are standing on the sea of glass mixed with fire. What are we looking at? We're looking at the fact that we have crossed the sea and we have also crossed the fire. That is what we are looking at. As a priest of God, all of us are his priest. And we have crossed not only the sea, but the fire also. That's why we're standing on the sea of glass mixed with fire. We rule over those two. We have crossed the sea and also the fire. We have come to God. We are standing before the throne. We are standing before God. This is our present spiritual heavenly reality. Even as we worship, that is what we believe. We have cross all these things, and we are standing right before God to worship Him. Do you see it, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? You are all God's priests, and you have entered the gate, and you have passed the altar of burnt offering. You have passed the sea, you have entered the holies, and you have entered the Holy of Holies. You are standing before the mercy seat, and you do not die. Why? We have come to God with the precious, perfect blood of Jesus Christ, who has been sacrificed for our sins. This is what is so amazing. Of course, if you don't believe, then you are just sitting here, you didn't come to God. But if you believe, you have actually come to God. Spiritually, you have come right before Him, and you don't die. Why? Even though you're a sinner, you're not consumed, you don't die, you're not drowned. Why? Because you come to God with the blood of Jesus Christ. So it's as if at the altar of burnt offering, you have sacrificed Jesus. He has sacrificed himself. But it's once and for all sacrifice. See, every year, the high priest, in order for him to come to the Holy of Holies, he had to sacrifice different animals every year. Why? Because that sacrifice is not perfect sacrifice. But you and I, we have the perfect sacrifice. Perfect meaning that you don't need anything else. You don't need more sacrifices. It's perfect. That is why it's once and for all sacrifice. So every time you come to God, you have that sacrifice, perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and you have His precious blood. And you are united to Jesus, and you have died with Him and resurrected with Him. You have crossed the fire, crossed the sea with Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ has completely and perfectly accomplished our heavenly reality, and He has witnessed that fact by walking on the water, by walking on the sea. You know the story, okay? We're going to finish our sermon today with that story. Matthew chapter 14. Jesus walking on the water, walking on the sea. Now, I told you a few weeks back that these miracles that Jesus performed, these are signs. Now, when we study a sign, our focus should never be the sign itself. You know, I told you this, right? LA sign. You know, you go to a freeway and then it has a sign. It says LA, 30 miles. Now, when you want to understand city of LA, you don't study the sign. You go to LA. Because when you focus on the sign, then you're not going to learn anything about LA. Because it's a sign. These miracles are signs. You don't focus on the sign itself, but what does that sign point to? The reality, heavenly reality that these signs point to. That's what you need to study. Now, so many people are so focused on the fact that Jesus walked on the water. I mean, for Jesus, that's nothing. I mean, He's God. Walking on the water or anything even harder than that is just nothing for Him. Why are we so surprised that He walks on the water? That is not the point. But what does that walking on the water point to? What kind of heavenly reality that walking on the water points to? We need to study that heavenly reality. Now you already know, we studied this already. Stepping on the water, walking on the water, water being the realm of Satan and realm of sin and realm of death. What does Jesus show by walking on the water? He rules. He conquers the realm of Satan. So, Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately, He made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of Him to the other side, while He sent the crowds away. After He had sent the crowds away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. And when it was evening, He was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, He came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he came frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Then they got into the boat and the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. Point is this. Walking on the water, look at Peter. Now Jesus walks on the water, but Peter also walks on the water. But his walking on the water depends on what? His faith. He doubts, then he sinks. If he doesn't doubt, if he believes, then he walks. What's the picture? If you want to rule over the world and Satan and sin, you do that by faith. When you believe, when you have faith, you are walking on the water. That is your spiritual reality, that you are walking on the sea. Do you see it? In our passage, Revelation 15 verse 2, we are standing on the glassy sea mixed with fire. You and I, we are standing on the sea. We are walking on the sea. That is our heavenly reality. In Jesus Christ, we also have conquered the realm of Satan and realm of death. So here, Peter too walks on the water, but he doubts and he sinks. And if your faith is not strong, if you start to doubt, you will also sink. But if you believe, you are already walking on the water. Look at your heavenly reality. Where are you standing? You are standing on the glassy sea. You rule with Christ. You now walk on the sea. This is your spiritual reality in Jesus Christ, now and forever. And when you enter that heaven and see Jesus face to face, you will never sink again, because you will always be standing on the glassy sea. Do you understand what the Bible is trying to teach you? What the Bible is trying to show you? It is showing you your heavenly realities. What is true of you in heaven? This is what the Bible is all about. It's never about how you're going to be in this world. So understand who you are and how you are. In Jesus Christ, you have also resurrected from the dead. Now you rule the realm of death. You rule with Christ. You are no longer slave to death. You are no longer slave to sin. You are no longer slave to this world. Do not live like a slave. Well, you could be slave to Jesus. But slave to Jesus is king of heaven. I really do pray that these words that we read in the Bible encourage you. I know, you know, when you look at your life, how you live here on earth, you live as if you are defeated. Not as someone who is ruling over this world or sin. But in order for you to live that victorious life, you must believe. And what do you need to believe? You must believe the heavenly reality that Christ has accomplished for you. You must believe what you see in Revelation 15 verse 2. You must understand that even as you sin today, that in Christ you have already passed the sea and you have already passed the fire. Even as you sin, you understand your heavenly reality. And that heavenly reality, even if you sin, it will not change. Because Jesus has accomplished that for you. And this is how you live a victorious life. You believe what Jesus has done and what he has accomplished for you. Now I know your actual life compared to what you see in the Bible, who you are in the Bible, there's so much difference, so big gap between them. And that's true. But your heavenly reality is also a reality. And it's eternal reality. It is true of you forever and ever. And God's design is that you triumph over this world by faith in who you are in Jesus Christ. In faith in Jesus Christ. Understand? I pray that you get it. And even as you live a life that kind of shows that you're defeated, but you could claim victory in Jesus Christ. Now, you see, this is so dumb and stupid to the world. This message is the ridiculous to the world. But this is what the Bible teaches. I pray to God all of us will believe. And just see your heavenly reality. It's just beautiful. It's so glorious. And that's the only reason I could go on. Only reason that I could live today. Because if I just look at myself and how sinful I am, there's no hope. It's only despair. But when we look at Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished for us, there's always hope. And it's not just worldly saying of hoping. No, we don't just hope like world does. But it's certain. Biblical hope is being certain of it. All right? Let's go out and live that victorious life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that we are able to see Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished for us through your word. Oh, it is so beautiful and so glorious. And we thank you that is our eternal reality. That is what is true of us in Jesus Christ now and forever. Let us continue to hope. Continue to be certain of what Christ has done and accomplished for us. And by faith, let us witness that reality in our lives, in the life of this church. Bless us, God, and receive much glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.